Chapter 14. Rosmarin.
She's alive.
I let out the breath I hadn't realized I was holding as Kristoff spoke those words with Erwin cradled in his arms. I hadn't seen her fall, but when I saw Chris fighting his way towards her, I knew something terrible had happened. Zahar pushed us out of the way and spoke healing spells over her. I'm going to need my potions. She turned to Onyx, and the gargoyle nodded and left the village through the splintered gate. I looked around us, taking in the destruction. Some of the nearby buildings were smashed to pieces or on fire. Dead and injured guards lay on the ground between piles of bones and zombie corpses. Other guards began loading the injured onto blankets, and they carried their comrades through the streets. The old man, who I assumed was the village elder, hobbled over to me.
Thank you. I really mean it. You saved our village. Please, let me show you to the healer's house where you can bring your friend.
The council helped carry Erwin through the village, and we followed the old man to a large house. Many wounded guards were already inside, and a group of women tended to them with salves and blood-soaked rags.
It's not much, but it's all we have.
The old man lamented.
I'll see what I can do to help.
Zahar reassured the man. I've brought along some potions and herbs. We left Zahar and Erwin in the house and followed the man back out into the streets. He turned to me and sighed. I gave him a sad smile. We're heading south to Noatl, but we will do what we can to help before we go. The man thanked us, and with another sigh he wandered off to take stock of the remaining damage. The woman and children who had taken shelter in what I assumed was some kind of town hall now were returned to their homes. Most of the buildings at the far end of the village were untouched, but those who lived closest to the gates came home to find damaged houses. I thought about the battle in Constanta and remembered the mass destruction our villages experienced. I felt sympathy for these people, but I knew they could rebuild, just as we were doing in Constanta. People could always turn a terrible situation around. It's how we survived. Rachel, Kristoff, and I walked through the streets, back towards the gates. Onyx was there, pulling bodies out of the road. We helped her and the guards clear a path so she could bring the carriage into the village. The Doombringer strapped several of Sahar's bags to her, and Rachel led her to the healer's house. Kristoff and I began helping with cleanup. We dragged zombie bodies and lichling bones out into the field, along with any debris, and set it all on fire. Smoke rose up into the pink, painted sky, now lighting up with the rising sun. We carefully moved the bodies of the villagers dead out into the nearby forest, where they would each receive a proper burial in the village's graveyard. It was hard, sad work, but I noticed how many of the villagers got to work without a second thought. I wondered how many times these people had to rebuild after zombie attacks. Although the forest on the village's north side offered fair protection, the rest of the village was exposed, guarded only by the wooden wall, and the hordes had easily breached their gates twice. It must have been a difficult life for them, living outside of a protected area like Constanta, but somehow they managed to survive. I noticed that most of the residents were human, and that explained a little bit. As seen with the West villagers of Constanta, most humans like to isolate themselves from any supernaturals, and most distrusted us. But was that inherent distrust really worth it? Although we had helped save the village and were now helping rebuild, many of the humans gave us a wide berth, especially Onyx. They looked at her with sideways glances, and I wondered if they had ever seen a gargoyle before. I made a mental note to keep my mouth shut so they wouldn't see my fangs, although the word had probably already spread that the vampire queen was in their midst. I shook the annoyance from me, reminding myself I was only a guest here, and continued with the cleanup. After several hours of hauling bodies and burning rubble, the fawn appeared. She carried a tray of food and drinks towards us.
As she approached, she bowed.
Thank you for all your help.
She handed me a drink from the tray. I looked in the cup, and it didn't surprise me to see a clear liquid inside, rather than blood.
Oh, sorry.
The fawn grinned sheepishly.
We don't have any blood.
I smiled at her, truly grateful for her kind gesture.
It's all right. This will be just fine.
I took a drink from the cup and let the cool liquid refresh me. The fawn handed out more drinks and food to Kristoff, Rachel, and Onyx, and she led us to a shaded spot near the village wall.
Really? Thank you.
She reiterated.
I know some of the villagers aren't so friendly, but we really appreciate all you've done.
I'm just glad we arrived when we did. I returned, trying not to become annoyed with the humans.
I'm Michaela, by the way. I'm a druid, so I'm usually in the forest, but I bring supplies to the village when I can.
How have these people managed to survive so long out here? I questioned. She looked at me thoughtfully.
They've had hordes come through before, but never one that big, I don't think, and definitely not with skeletons. I think the village is small and quiet enough that the zombies don't really pay them any mind. But we've been seeing a lot more coming from the south.
You don't say.
Kristoff interjected as he stuffed food into his mouth. She nodded, and her eyes glossed over as I saw some worry enter her mind. She quickly shook it off, though, and returned to her chipper self.
The village elder, Bowen, said you're heading to Nahuatl?
Michaela asked, a hint of disappointment in her voice. Indeed, we are, I replied. There was a moment of silence, and then Michaela questioned us about the recent battle in Constanta. She had heard the tales before, but she seemed excited to hear it all from our own mouths.
Did you really fight demons?
Michaela asked with bulging eyes. I told her about Kristoff's and my fight with the Blood Drake and our discovery of her supernatural zombie army. Then I recounted how we had returned to the kingdom only to find it overrun with zombies. Michaela literally sat on the edge of her seat.
How did you manage to kill all of them?
Well, I continued slowly, Kristoff has some kind of power. He used it to destroy the zombies. Michaela's big brown eyes darted from me to Kristoff. He shrugged, so I continued. He sacrificed himself for us.
What do you mean?
Michaela gasped.
He died,
Rachel pointed out. Michaela released another audible gasp and studied Kristoff like he was a ghost.
But the zombies all disintegrated into ash, every last one of them in Constanta.
Onyx added. Michaela's head turned from me to Onyx and Rachel and then rested on Kristoff, who was oddly quiet. Maybe he didn't want to relive those moments, or maybe he was uncharacteristically modest.
What happened next?
Michaela breathed, clearly in awe of our story. Well, even with the deaths of our two friends, we thought we had won, I recalled.
But the ash started swirling and a giant hole opened in the earth.
Rachel continued.
A demon called the Draken appeared from the ashes and more demons flew out of his mouth.
He said something about a spell being broken.
Onyx remembered. I nodded, and his terrible words played in my mind.
I am Draken, son of the Blood Drake, courier of chaos and destruction. The spell holding me has finally been broken.
Well, whatever spell held him certainly broke, and I thought we saw the end of Constanta. I solemnly spoke.
So did I,
Rachel prompted.
But as we fought the demons, a certain someone...
She looked at Chris, appeared on the field with a now fully alive Sahar. Michaela looked at Kristoff again with those wide brown eyes.
How?
Was all she managed to get out. He did his customary shrug, but finally spoke.
After I died, I saw a bright white light and... someone. I grabbed his hand and asked if Sahar could come with me. Then I woke up on the roof of the castle.
A confused look crossed Michaela's face.
You remind me of something, but I can't figure out what.
I guess I have that sort of face.
Kristoff joked. We sat and ate and conversed with Michaela, asking her questions about the forest. As a druid, she was very knowledgeable, and so I decided to ask about the wood nymphs. I thought they would leave us alone as long as we kept to ourselves, I began. But whether we just startled them trying to steal our belongings, or if we did something else to anger them, I have no idea. What could we have done to upset them so much?
They seem to be acting out more, as you all experienced,
Michaela mentioned. Have there been zombies in the forest? I asked the fawn.
I have seen an increase in numbers, especially from the south side.
Michaela put her hand under her chin, and I could tell she was processing something.
That doesn't quite explain it, though. There have always been zombies wandering in the woods. Maybe something else has them scared.
I thought about her words, and a shudder ran through me. Whatever was happening down south was already starting to affect other lands, and it was only a matter of time before these problems reached the walls of Constanta once more. After enjoying our meal and Michaela's company, we decided to pay Sahar and Erwin a visit to see how they were doing. We said our goodbyes to the cheerful fawn and made our way back to the healing house. By the looks of it, Sahar's magic and potions were working wonders for the injured. Many of the beds were now empty, her spells and her alchemy healing many of the guards enough that they could return home. The woman who worked in the house couldn't say enough good things about the sorceress. Erwin, however, still lay in a bed, unconscious. Sahar saw us enter and came over to us, shaking her head.
I fear Eri's wounds need more attention. Once she wakes up, we should hurry to Nuatl. Katala, the witch doctor, will be able to help her.
Some of the healing women looked sad at the thought of Sahar leaving, but our sorceress promised to leave some of her potions with them, and they thanked her profusely. By the end of the day, as the sun slowly finished its arc in the sky and sank towards the horizon, our group and the villagers had managed to remove all the bodies and scrap from inside the walls. The bonfire continued burning out in the field, sending up a great cloud of smoke. Luckily, the pile was downwind, but every so often the stench floated over the walls, making me gag. Bowen, the village elder, called a meeting in the town hall, and we followed the lines of villagers to the great building that had been a shelter just the night before. The council and I opted to stay in the back, not wanting to upset any more people with our presence, but Bowen beckoned us to the front of the room where he and Michaela stood. I led my friends through the groups of humans and could feel their eyes on me. Some of them even leaned away as we passed. Did they really think I would attack them? I saw how they looked at Kristoff, however. They stared at him with wide eyes, smiling, like he was their savior, and I wondered if word of his powers had spread. Humans could be so fickle. They didn't even know he wasn't fully a human. He just looked like one. We stood at the front of the room, and I felt awkward standing before these people who clearly did not want us near them. What in the world did they have against supernaturals? Bowen cleared his throat, silencing the faint murmurs in the hall. Then he spoke.
We've all had a long day and have much more work to do, but I wanted to thank our new friends here.
Bowen gestured to us, and more murmurs echoed through the room.
Without them, he continued, I fear we would have lost our village to the dead.
I saw some nods of agreement from the villagers.
I know some of you have been on edge because the Vampire Queen is here.
Bowen gestured toward me.
But she wasn't the cause of the destruction. She saved us, along with the Lightbearer.
More murmurs rustled through the crowd, and someone stood up and shouted,
"The Vampire Queen is evil! That's why the zombies attacked her lands! That's what drew the demon to it! Constanta is a land of monsters!"
Anger bubbled up inside me. These isolated humans had no real idea of the horrors we had faced. I balled up my fists, ready to explode, but I felt a soft hand on my arm as Kristoff stepped forward.
"I was a human from Constanta, and these supernaturals you see before you are my closest friends and allies. These people rule Constanta, and it is a wonderful kingdom. In fact, you all are welcome there. It would be far safer than here, and many humans live there too. I was born in a village of Constanta that is mostly humans, but we live with supernaturals in peace."
Kristoff's skin glowed, and wonder and amazement grew on the villagers' faces, and on my own as well.
Hell, maybe Kristoff was the savior. Much like he had back home, he appeared lordly and powerful as he addressed the crowd. His voice was full of compassion and understanding, something I had lacked for the West Village and something I lacked now. But I would change that.
Bowen said a few more words to his people, and then we were all dismissed. As the crowds filed out of the hall, Bowen turned to my council.
"I'm sorry for the way the villagers and I have treated you,"
he said with a bowed head.
"Besides, Michaela, we don't see many supernaturals around here. And Michaela is a little bit, well, easier to take in, what with her fur and all. You're welcome to stay as long as you need to in the inn, but I understand you need to get your friend help."
I could tell the old man was sincere, and I graciously accepted his apology. Only a few months ago, I had come face to face with my own mistakes as a leader, and my people had been kind enough to forgive me, and so I could forgive this group of people that held so much misinformation about supernaturals. Perhaps this was the beginning of change for Trouble Village, the beginning of change for us all, thanks to Kristoff.